Happy Sabbath and good afternoon to everyone. We thank God for His mercies and we thank God for His gracious for giving us this opportunity to meet here once again to worship and study His word. Like how Mr. Brown was, the opening prayer, what Mr. Brown was saying about the troubles that was going on in the world, and we don't understand what is happening, but only God knows why there's so many troubles going on in this world. And last night, whilst I was doing a review of my message this afternoon, I took time to do some research on mortality rate in the world. Confronting the mortality of the world around us can lead us to reflect more earnestly about our priorities and provide us with a sense of urgency and purpose. You know, statisticians have calculated the mortality rate for the world to be roughly 0.883%. This means that one out of every 113 people in the world died last year. Based on this rate, there's an estimate of incidence of death among people now living in the world. And looking at the statistics that they gave here, they said 1.78 people die per second around the whole world, and 107 people also die every minute. 6,390 people die every hour, and 153,000 people die every day around the whole world, and 56 million deaths per year. People die the whole year. We have 56 million people die every year. Of course, these numbers are based on inductive generalization and therefore are not infallible. However, the fact remains that people are dying around us every year. And many of these people have not heard of the salvation of the Lord God of Israel through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, just this Thursday, we heard about this plane crash in the Mediterranean Sea. And I decided to do some research about the number of plane accidents that we have around this world. And I just decided to check on 2014 today. There was a lot, but I selected a few of them. In 2014, March 8th, the disappearance of Malaysian airline MH370 during a flight from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing leads to the largest and most expensive search in aviation history. Despite vast effort, notable in the hostile South Indian Ocean, nothing was found until July 2015, when an aircraft wing part was washed up on Reunion, a small island closer to Africa. And the French officials confirmed the debris was from the MH370, but still they have never found the wreckage of the aircraft or those who are dead. And July 17th, the same year, another Malaysian airline flight, MH17, crashed near Grabov in eastern Ukraine, killing all 298 passengers on board. 193 of them are Dutch people from Amsterdam or Holland. You know, pro-Russian rebels are widely accused of shooting the plane down using the surface to air missiles, but they still deny responsibility. And in the same year, 2014, July 23rd, 48 people died when a Taiwanese plane crash into stormy seas during a short flight. The plane was carrying 54 passengers and 4 crew to the island of Pangu. It made an abortive attempt to land before crashing on a second attempt. On July 24th, the following day, Air Algeria AH5017 disappeared over Mali amid poor weather near the border with Burkina Faso in Africa. The plane was operated by a Swiss company called Swift Air and was heading from Ouagadougou to Algiers, carrying 116 passengers, and they are all presumed dead. December 28, 2014, another Air Asia flying from Surabaya in Indonesia to Singapore goes missing over the Sea of Java. The pilot radio for permission to divert around bad weather, but no mayday alert was issued. There were 162 passengers and crew on board, and they all died. That's 2014. This is just a few of the, plane crash that I selected from the year 2014. In 2015, I also came upon March 24th, which we have a German Wings Airbus E320, which crashes in the French Alps near Dingen on a flight from Barcelona to Dusseldorf. All 148 people on board were dead. And if we listen to the news, we all know what happened. You know, the co-pilot have to lock himself in the cockpit whilst the main pilot have to go to the washroom, and he decided to commit suicide by crashing the aircraft and killing all the passengers on board. On June 30th, 2015, Indonesia Hercules C-120 military transport plane crashed into a residential area of Medan. The army says all 120 people on board died, along with at least 19 on the ground. So no one is safe. You can still be on the ground by not flying, but, you know, you can also have a plane crash. On October 31st, an Airbus 8321 operated by Russian airline crashed over central Sinai some 22 minutes after taking off from Sharm el-Sheikh. All 224 people on board were also dead. A lot of things are happening in this world. And another research that I did also is that, according to CDS, you know, number of causes of death in the world, it's not about plane accident or plane crash. They also came out with the number one causes of death in this world as heart disease. Number two, cancer. And number three, chronic lower respiratory disease. And number four, accident, which include plane crash, train accident, car accident, etc., and etc. So you could imagine that plane crash is not the number one accident or the number one cause of death on this world. It falls within the four category of, according to CDS. So I'm not saying this to scare those who do frequent flying, but just to make you aware about what is happening around this world. You know, the Egypt air flight 804, which is all around the news as we are speaking right now, it was en route from Paris to Cairo on Thursday, and it crashed in the Mediterranean Sea, and all on board are presumed dead as of now, but search is still ongoing. You know, this Thursday plane crash is the latest on a long list of air incidents over the past 3 years. A lot of things are happening, so let's be aware and keep on praying. So, suffering is seen everywhere, and many are those who respond to it compassionately. Medical personnel, for example, work long shifts in hospitals to help those who are ill or injured. firefighters, police, and rescue personnel strive to elevate or prevent the suffering of others. Such efforts do much to help people on a personal level, but it is beyond the reach of any individual or organization to eliminate suffering worldwide. In contrast, God can and will bring about a global solution. So my message this afternoon is God's global solution. God's global solution. You know, assurance is found in the last book of the Bible, which we can find in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. It said, God will wipe out every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will be mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be no more. The former things have passed away. Consider the scope of that promise. Just consider the scope of that promise. It summarizes God's purpose to bring an end to all suffering. He will do that by ridding the earth of war, hunger, sickness, and injustice, along with all the terrorists and wicked people. No country, and I said no country, nor human, can accomplish that. There's a lot of political stuff going on with a lot of promises, as if they are coming to solve all the solution in this world. You know, God the Father will fulfill this promise through the second most powerful person in the universe, our Savior and resurrected Jesus Christ. The time is coming when Christ will rule unopposed as king over the entire universe. Mankind will no longer be governed by human kings, president, or politicians. Instead, they will be ruled by one king, one government, the kingdom of God. That kingdom will do away with every human government. It will wipe away all human government, Republicans, Democrats, whatever. It's going to wipe all away entirely. Long ago, the Bible foretold the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be brought to ruin. And the kingdom itself will not be passed on to any other people. Christ is not going to start for re-election. He's not going to campaign or go for primaries. It will crash and put an end to all these kingdoms. And itself will stand to times indefinitely. When we read Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, we can find it right there. People of all the earth will be united under one righteous government, which is the kingdom of God. When Jesus Christ was on earth as a man, he spoke on many occasions about that kingdom. He referred to it in the model prayer, as we all know when we're kids, which is referred to as the Lord's Prayer, instructing his disciples to pray in this way: let your kingdom come, let your will take place as in heaven, also upon earth. You can find it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Notice that Jesus indicated that the kingdom is linked to God's will to eliminate suffering worldwide. God's righteous government will bring blessings that no human government ever could. Recall that God the Father gave his only Son as a ransom to that humans might receive everlasting life. Under the benevolence of the rulership of the kingdom, God will progress to perfection. And what will be the results? God will actually swallow up death forever. And the Lord Sovereign will certainly wipe tears from all faces. And some might ask, why has God not acted before now? Whenever any incident happens, that's the question people always ask. What is he waiting for? God would have acted long ago to eliminate or even prevent all suffering. Instead, he has allowed it to continue. We may not understand. Maybe we will understand in future, but now we may not understand. Like all these disasters or these fatalities that I was mentioning about aircraft, I believe there are passengers who are devoted Christians who are among those who were dead. I believe that. Sometimes loving parents allow their children to undergo hardship if they know that this will bring long-term benefit. So probably maybe that's why God allows such things to happen in this world. Similarly, there are good reasons why God has allowed humans to suffer. I think UCG, we have a booklet about that. I've forgotten the title. When you read, probably you know the answers, or you will have some idea about why bad things happen to good people, or why things such things happen in this world. You know, they involve such things as free will, sin, and an issue concerning the rightfulness of God's rulership. The Bible also explains that for a limited time, an evil spiritual creature has been allowed to rule this world. And he's in charge, whether we like it or not. He's in charge right now. Brethren, time will not permit me to discuss those reasons into details, why God has allowed an evil spiritual creature to rule this world. There's a lot of explanation that I can go into it, but time will never permit me to explain that. There are two facts that can give us hope and encouragement. The first is, God will more than make up for any suffering and hardship we may have experienced our entire life. Moreover, God assures us the former things will not be called to mind. When you read Isaiah chapter 65 verse 17, you say all that is happening right now. When the time comes, you will never remember those issues anymore. You won't even remember your loved one dying or going through suffering. Everything will be wiped out. You will never have any memory of those things anymore, which will even disturb or bother your heart. You can find that when you read Isaiah 65 verse 17, you can find that there. You know, God will undo completely and permanently the misery and suffering resulting from the temporary permission of evil. He will undo it. The second fact is this: God has set an unchangeable time to end all suffering. Recall that the prophet Habakkuk asks, He asked God, how long would you permit violence and strife? The prophet Habakkuk asked God like that. And God replied, the vision is yet for the appointed time. It will not be late. The vision is yet for the appointed time, and it will not be late. When you read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, you can find it over there. Brethren, in conclusion, we should bear in mind that as long as we live in this troubled world, and until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ return and establish his kingdom of this earth, we shall continue to grapple with suffering, hardship, and terrorism. In such times, we will need an attitude that realizes that this trial shall one day pass away forever. At the moment, in spite of our difficulties, we should adapt the perspective of Psalm 118 verse 24, which says that this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, irrespective of whatever is happening in this world.